We're about to enter the 22nd chapter of Pirkei Rav Elezer, which will bring us to the story of the sins of the people prior to the destruction of the deluge, the flood, the Mabul. And we're going to read some deep concepts, and we'll translate them plainly, and we'll keep in the back of our minds that this is Medrash, which means that there's a lot of depth, and whatever understanding we can attain, we'll attain. We're holding Perek Chaf Beis of Pirkei Rav Elezer on the Eshkol editions. That will be page 9 Aleph. Whoever wants, we have copies up here.
You said down in the dreamy class, yeah.
Right, yeah.
I like that.
Ein Beis, Ein Aleph. I figure if guys are here and they're not expanding their vocabulary, so we'll try to expand vocabulary. Okay, let's go.
Ein Aleph is it?
Ein Aleph, yeah. That's page Ein Aleph, Perek Chaf Beis. K'tiv, the verse states, V'yechi Adam shloshim u'mat shana v'yol bidmuto ketzalmo. Adam lived 130 years before he gave birth. He bore a child that was similar to him, that had his countenance, his tzelem, and that was Sheth, otherwise known as Seth. Mikan talamed shelo haya kain mizaro. When the verse states that Adam lived 130 years and then he had a child, this is indicative of what we saw last week, that Cain wasn't really his child. Velo midmuto, and he didn't resemble Adam. Velo mitzelmo shel Adam, and he didn't have his spiritual countenance, he didn't have his tzelem. Velo ma'asav domin ma'asei hevel achiv, nor were his actions similar to Abel, Hevel, his brother. Ad she'nolad Shet, she'haya mizaro d'muto. Until Shet was born, he was similar to Adam, he was similar to Adam's fashioning, spiritual fashioning. Ma'asav domin ma'asei hevel achiv, and his actions were like his righteous, pious brother, Hevel, Abel. And in Kabbalah it says that Shet was a resurrection, he was a reincarnation of Hevel's neshama. And that's why he was called Kishat Li Elokim Zera Acher Tachat Hevel. Adam says when he names Shet, he says, God placed for me another child in place of Abel, indicating clearly that he was in place of Abel on the simple level, because Abel was killed. On a spiritual level, it says that he was Hevel's soul coming back to earth. Shenemar, as the verse states, Vayol bidmuto ketzalmo. Adam bore a child that was of his fashion, of his spiritual shape. And I think so. We were in the middle of the Medrash, and the Medrash said that Sheth was the one that continued in the way of Adam Arishon. And that, by the way, for those of you who learned Kuzari, the Kuzari stresses this point, that Sheth continued. And there were single ones in each generation who continued the way of Adam, the Tzelem Elokim, until Avram, who was exceptional, that's why he's called Avram HaIvri. Avram was on the other side. Everyone else was, the whole world was behaving one way, he was on the other side.
Rabbi?
Yeah?
What did we learn? Did we learn last week that they had twins? They were twins.
Cain and Hevel were twins.
Yeah, they had
twins. And they had twin sisters, right.
But Shet had a twin sister too, yeah?
I guess Shet had a twin sister. It seems that way. But I don't know. It doesn't say it clearly here. I seem to remember, maybe it's a Medrash Tanchuma. I think there's a Medrash that indicates maybe that he married Hevel's Almana. I don't remember. I think it's addressed somewhere.
Why was she old?
We're continuing with the Medrash. Rabbi Ishmael Omer. Rabbi Ishmael tells us, Mishet Aluv Nitasu Kol Abiyot Chodrot Tzadikim. To Shet were attributed all the creatures and generations of tzaddikim, righteous people. Mikain aluv nitiachsu kol dorot arshaim, haposhim v'amordim shemordu b'makom. And to Cain were attributed all the generations of evil people who rebelled and purposely rebelled against their creator. V'amru einanu tzachim nitipat kishamecha. And they said, God, we don't need your rain. V'lo ladat rachecha. We don't have to learn your ways. Shenema v'yomru lakel. As Job recounts, these people said to God, Sumimeno, leave the earth, let us be immoral, let us behave the way we want, we don't want your guidelines. Rabbi Meir Omer, Rabbi Meir explains to us, how did these people live their lives? The generations that came from Cain would walk around completely naked. and they'd reveal their private parts, men and women, kabeima, they'd walk around like animals. Umitamim mechol znut. And then they'd defile themselves in all forms of immoral relations, even with relations that ordinarily a person isn't so attracted to. Ish beimo, man would know his mother, uvevito, and his daughter, uveshet achiv, and his brother's wife. Bagaluy uvalchovot, in revealed places, in the streets, everywhere there was incest, rampant. This was the generations prior to the destruction of the flood. They'd sin with their evil inclinations and the thoughts of their hearts. And this indicates to us, the Medrash has explained to us how things evolved. When people were walking around naked, so that incited the other people to sin. And part of why we're modest is because when we're immodest, so that incites us to sin. When we cover things, so it's true, that could also be alluring, but it's different. And when everything is readily available and everyone's interested in this type of behavior, so that causes people to sin. It's interesting that the halacha discusses how modest we're supposed to be. And today, it's common that when people learn this and they first approach Judaism, they say, but it doesn't affect me when I see a person dressed less modestly than this. There are billboards all around and there are people all around dressed less than this. Why should it affect me? And the truth is that it's not that it doesn't affect us, but that we're so accustomed to being at such a level of arousal that we don't even recognize the difference, because we spend our lives constantly being on that improper level. If we'd attune ourselves, then things would affect us, because we don't spend the rest of our times being in an improper state. That's why people sometimes will say, you know, ever since I started learning Torah, and ever since I started watching what I look at, and ever since I became more careful, suddenly things arouse me, suddenly all kinds of things bother me that didn't bother me before. Yeah, you've moved up a notch. It's not that you've moved down a notch. When you move up a notch and you don't spend your life seeing things that are improper, so then suddenly you're sensitized properly. A person is supposed to be sensitized, and even that has to undergo a stage where it's more difficult, and then as a person grows, it becomes less difficult. But the Medrash over here is stressing that the people were sinning rampantly, and there was incest and things that naturally a person wouldn't be as interested in, but when everyone's walking around stark naked, so naturally that's what happens. And when they weren't sinning actively, they were sinning in their thoughts. The Medrash is alluding to that, and the Torah trains us constantly to be careful with what we do, to be careful with what we say, to be careful with what we think. And this is the order of things that happen. A person thinks things that are improper, and then he says things that are improper, and ultimately he does things that are improper. And over here, the Medrash is stressing that the people, when they weren't sinning actively with their Yetzer Hara, they were sinning actively with their thoughts. Shneimar, as the verse states, Vayar Hashem Hashem Soki Rabba Ra'at Adam Ba'aretz, that man's evil ways were plenty in the land. The Pasuk is indicating that it was rampant. People weren't even embarrassed. Every street corner you'd see the most immoral activities taking place. Rabbi Omer, Rabbi says, Ro'a Malachim Shnaflu Mimkom Kedushatan Min Hashamayim Mepeno Kain Me'alchot Kluyot Psar Erva. The angels that fell from heaven, from their holy place, they saw the daughters of Cain walking around naked with their private parts uncovered. What angels are we talking about? So in a second we'll discuss that. Umchachalot enem kazonot, and beautifying their eyes, as would, how would you translate zona nicely?
Satiable.
I don't know. Okay, we'll use that term. I assume it's, I don't think it's so nice. It must be a nicer term. Harlot. Beautifying their eyes like zona. So I see everyone knows what it means, so we don't have to really spend time chanting. You want to ask something?
Yes. I asked you before, a couple months ago, regarding when it says that they have wings on their feet, and sometimes feet is a lashon naki for private areas, and you said that it wasn't referring to that, but here it seems there might be a possibility, the fact that there are angels walking naked.
It didn't say there are angels walking naked. It said angels fell and saw the women walking naked.
Okay. All right.
V'tuachayin, and they erred after these women. V'lakchum mehen nashim, and they took wives from them. Shnamar, the verse states, V'yiru bnei Elohim et benot Adam. The sons of God saw the daughters of men. They saw they were good, and they took whatever daughters they could. So there's a medrash that says that there were angels, Shamchezai and Azail, in heaven, and they saw mankind sinning down here, and they said to God, look what you do, what you create man for, look at how they're behaving. And God said, if you were down there, you'd be doing the same. You don't have their urges, so that's why you're not doing that. And the angel said, let us go. We'll prove that we could stand the temptation. We wouldn't behave that way. And they came down here, and they became very, very, very sinful. One time, one of these angels was coming to a girl. I don't remember her name. The Medrash says her name. And she told him, tell me God's secret name with which you could fly up to heaven. So, and then I'll be willing to do whatever you want. So he told her the name, and she said the name, and flew up to heaven right away. And he said, wait a second, she's human. And this is how she's behaving? How could I be behaving the way I'm behaving? And at that point, Sham Chazai did tshuva, and his punishment was to remain hanging upside down between heaven and earth. And that's the way he is till today. And Azazel said, I'm not doing tshuva. This is fun. And he became worse and worse. And he became the angel that's responsible for kishuf and all negative things in this world, Azazel. And part of the process that the Torah commands to bring Asar, La Azazel, relates to him. And Bilam went to him and got a lot of his strengths from him. And these are the angels that the Medrash is referring to, that when these angels fell from their holy place in heaven, they chased after the daughters of Cain that were walking revealed. It's interesting that this concept of walking revealed we will encounter again when the daughters of Midian caused the Jews to sin. As the Jews are about to enter the land of Israel, that's what they do. They have an old woman selling goods outside, and on the inside, they'd walk in and find the girl that was there, just like these women were walking around. And that's how they caused the Jews to sin. So, Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha Omer, Rabbi Yeshua, the son of Rabbi Akiva, the bold one, says, Hamalachim esh lo atim, the angels are burning fire. Shneimar, as the verse states, Meshaltav esh lo het, his servants are burning fire. Va'esh babi vilab bevisav adam v'nasorev tetaguf, can it be that they went with women and they didn't burn them up? But the way to understand this is that when they fell from heaven, they were given strength and height like men, and they were dressed with earth, as the verse states in Job, Lavash Psari Rima v'gushafar. Rabbi Tzadok Omer, Mehem nodu anakim amalachim begova koma. Rabbi Tzadok says they still retained some level of angel, because from them they bore the giants that were so tall. And these giants were able to take anything they wanted. They were so powerful that they'd steal in broad daylight, they'd steal and they'd kill whoever they wanted. Dichtiv, as the verse states, that when the Jews were about to enter the land of Israel, the spies said, V'sham ha'inu tanfirim, and over there we saw the fallen ones, the sons of the giants from the fallen angels. So they were still around when the Jews had to enter the land of Israel, and those that were left, the Jews had to kill when they entered the land of Israel, part of conquering the land. And the verse also states, before the destruction of the flood, that there were those fallen ones in the ground. Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha, Rabbi Yeshua, the son of Rabbi Akiva, the bold one, said, Yisrael nikru b'nei Elohim, the Jewish people are called sons of God. As the verse states, Banim atem l'shem lokechem, God says, you are my sons. And the angels are also called sons of God. Shneimar, the verse states, and the stars of the morning sing, so the sons of God all start trumpeting, singing in honor of God, and that's referring to the angels. The Elu, and these angels, these angels, so long as they were in their holy spot in heaven, were referred to as the son of God. And again, this has to be defined. What does it mean, son of God? What does the word ben mean? The word ben has many definitions. The Rambam, one of the first things he does in Mor Nevuchim is he writes a dictionary. And one of the words he defines is, what does ben mean? Ben means a few things. What does it mean they are the sons of God? Shnemaz, the verse states, v'gam achichen asher yavo bnei alokim. The verse states, afterwards, after they fell, these sons of God, they came upon the sons of men, and they sinned. Rabbi Levi Omer, היו מולידים בניהם ופרין ורבין כמין שרץ גדול. They'd give birth to their children, and they'd multiply like a huge rodent. שישה בכל לידה ולידה. They'd bear six children with every delivery. באותה שעה היו עומדים על רגליהם, and these children, where they were born like animals. On the day they were born, they could stand. ומדברים בלשון הקודש, and they could speak Hebrew, the holy tongue. ומרקדים לפניהם, they could dance before their parents. So this answers to an extent what people ask, how could the population have grown so fast if everything came from one man? So the Medr says that historically, in earlier times, people were able to bear six children at a shot. Shlema, as the verse states, Yishachu chatzon avideihim. They give forth like sheep, just like sheep stand the day they're born, they bat the day they're born. So too, the earlier men, when they bore children, the children were more developed at childbirth.
That's bad.
It sounds more accurate. He just. Amalem Noach. So Noach said, he sees everyone behaving this way. He said, "Shuvu midalchem, return from your ways, umimasechem arim, from your bad ways." And that's one understanding as to why Noach was called Noach. It says that he was called with prophecy. They called him Noach. They said, this one will comfort us from what's going on here. So what was the comfort? So his forefathers saw that Noach would rebuke the people, and they had thought that he would help the people repent. So Noach forewarned them, repent, so the waters of the flood, the waters of the deluge won't come, ve'achit kol zera bnei adam, and destroy all the seed of mankind. Amru lahem, amru lo. So they answered Noach. They said, the weaker one said, okay, we won't have kids. What do? We won't bring kids to the world. If God's going to destroy everything. So instead of repenting, they said, well, if the world will be destroyed, we won't bring kids to the world. When they come to their wives, they'd use natural birth control. They'd emit everything on the ground. When came time to emit, so they spilled it on the ground. And that's why when we say that it is prohibited to spill one's seed, one is not allowed to spill it in vain. So that includes masturbating, that includes even having thoughts that would cause one to have a wet dream at night. All that we say is the sin of the generation of the flood. That's what they did. This is brought in the discussion, what forms, if any, of child, in which situations, what form of birth control are permitted. Because ordinarily we'd say that would be an extension of this, that this is the sinful ways of the generation of the flood. There are circumstances when one might find permission to use certain forms of birth control. One has to consult with one's rabbi if it is necessary. But this was the way of the people of the generation of the flood. So they'd spill their seed on the ground, kedesh lo lotzi zera bnei adam, so as not to bring forth the seed of man. Shneimaz, the verse states, vayar elokim tarz v'nei nishchata. God saw the ground and it was destruction. And destruction refers to destroying their procreation. Amru, they said, imei ha-mabul yavi aleinu. So the giants said, if God will bring down waters of a deluge, harei anu kvei koma, we're so tall, v'en ha-mayim magim ha-tzavareinu, the waters won't even reach our necks. Ve'imei tomot ma'ale aleinu. And if he wants to bring out the waters from underneath, harei parsot regleinu listom tatomot, we'll take our feet and stuff up the underground sources, underground wells with our own feet. Now you will see, what did they do in the flood, the time for the flood actually came? They'd extend the palms of their feet and the calves of their feet and fill up the different sources of water from the depths. So what did God do? He caused the waters of the depths to be boiling hot. And they'd boil off their flesh and peel off the skin from the giant's feet. Shenehemaz, the verse states, Beit Yizovu nitzmatu b'chumo nidachu min komam, atikri b'chumo la b'chamimo. We derive from the verse in Job that that's what God did, and that's how the giants were also wiped out during the deluge, during the flood. Again, we read all of this on a simple level, and obviously there is a deeper understanding what's going on here with the giants, what's going on with their argument, we'll be able to defend ourselves from the flood. Maybe it's something to think about, our parsha that discusses the punishments that God brings to the world, and very often we think we have escape routes. I have a passport, I have dual citizenship. We always think we have all kinds of escapes. If something happens, I'll be okay. When God wants to punish, so where can one hide? The verse states there's no place to hide. We have to try to protect ourselves, but we can't think that we could do whatever we want and nothing bad will happen. We have all the insurance in the world. It doesn't work. Titus said, "Oh God, where are you? I'm killing you. I'm destroying your temple. I'm destroying your holy of holies. Where are you?" So God, he was going by sea, and God sent a terrible storm to the sea, and the ship he was on was going to be destroyed. So he said, "God, I know you. You, God of the Jews, you could only use water to defeat people. This doesn't prove anything. It doesn't prove you're powerful. It doesn't prove anything. You destroyed the Egyptians with water. You with water, you're good. You brought the flood. But I take me on dry land. That's where I defeated all your men. Let's see if you can take me on there." So heavenly voice came out and God said, "Okay, if that's what you want, fine. I'll take you on dry land. But I won't take you on the way you think. I'll send a small little creature that I have called the mosquito. And that my little mosquito is what's going to kill you." And when Titus got the dry land, so God sent the mosquito and it jumped into his ear and through the canal it went into his head. And it spent the rest of the days eating away at his brain. And he felt that something was gnawing away at his brain. And he didn't know what to do about it. And it drove him crazy day and night. He felt the banging inside his head. Until finally, one day he was walking by a blacksmith and the guy was banging. And the banging scared the mosquito. So he told the blacksmith, "You come to my castle. You brought me peace of mind." And he'd spend his days and nights next to the blacksmith banging. Until after 30 days, the mosquito got used to the banging. And it started eating away at his brain again. And he left orders. He said, "When I die, I want you to open up my head and see what is there inside there that's killing me." And he recognized that God sent something to kill him. And when they opened his brain, when he died, they opened his head and they found a mosquito the size of the bird, the Gemara says, that had eaten all of his brain. So when a person thinks there's an escape route, we don't. There's no such thing as an escape. God has a small mosquito. Anything God wants could destroy a person, a country. We're in God's hands always. We just like to forget it. But like these giants said, "If he'll send this, I could take it on." So God says, "You can't take anything on. If I want, that's what will destroy a person." Yeah?
One thing is unclear to me. Angels are supposed to be spiritual beings, not physical beings. How could they be tempted on physical stuff, and how could they have relations with humans?
So it seems that that's what the Midrash is answering. When the Midrash says that they were given physical form, God said, "You guys think you'll do better? So I'll give you your potential as angels, and I'll combine it with the desires of mankind, and I'll give you the human shape, and let's see you do better."
Certain angels do that because of the nothingness
of physical form. Is it